Resource Center in Friday, December 11th. It's actually 10 o'clock in the morning. And this is for the Women's Oral History Project at the Women's Resource Center. The person that is being interviewed is Sally Carabello. The interviewer is Dana Bozic. Just forget about this recording.
Okay, so you're a student at YSU. You're in what year?
This is my last year.
Okay, and what's your major?
I'm in biology pre-med.
So you do plan to go on to medical school?
I do. I just started getting some letters and tried to respond back.
So what, you have to search out the schools, right, and make applications? Mm-hmm. Is that how it works?
You have to search out the schools, you have to search out financial aid, prospects and jobs and different areas. You really have to find out which school kind of came in and see.
So it sounds like you're not thinking of near your home.
No. Well, basically because the practice that I want to get into, school is more focused on practice and things of that nature. Where I want other budgets, like that, medicine, so I want to get a little bit more set about in that area.
Let's just go back and do some general stuff. I was wondering if you were just telling a little bit about your family, where you grew up, and that sort of stuff.
My family, well, first of all, I'm first generation in America. My family is from Puerto Rico. I've got three siblings, two brothers and a sister, and two are older than I am. My parents, pretty strict. sure you've heard of Hispanic dogs, right?
So what's that, they'd want to know where you're going.
Oh, yeah. To this day, I'm 23 years old, and I still have to, I have a little report to submit every time I want to leave the house. That's pretty strict.
How's that feel?
Sometimes I really am grateful for it, because a lot of people, in high school, and the guys, think it was a little bit more serious. But,
and you think that's it?
Yeah.
Go back to the stuff.
Yeah. But, I don't know, it's kind of good, though, growing up with a culture. I know I did grow up feeling my culture. My first language was Spanish. And we would go back and forth, so I grew up a little bit here, a little bit there. Mm-hmm. And to this day, sometimes I'll say, oh, I'm going back home.
You make trips back to see your family.
Because the only people that are here really are my niece and family. Which here is just your mother, your father, and your brothers and sisters.
So you don't have other extended,
I have one uncle and aunt that are here from the
Is that kind of unusual? I feel like some families I know, one will come and then, they'll help somebody else come. And
I have, just really basically one from my mother's side, her half-brother, and then my uncle from my father's side, which we're closer to my father's side of the family. Is also very traditional and his family. But as far as cousins, we have no older cousins, but really stemming from back home, my grandparents, my cousins, the rest of my cousins, my uncles, they're all there.
Did they come here for jobs?
Yeah, basically, all my parents are still in the city. My dad was living in New York with 7 years of my mom, and then he decided that Ohio would be a very nice place to meet our family. And he married my mom when he was 21, and my mom was 15.
And was she
He was here for, I think, a year, so yeah.
And how old before she started using her?
My mother lost her miscarriage, so she started right away. And her first son wasn't born until like
2 years. She was a whopping 17.
Yeah.
And how about your grandmother? Did she stay this right away?
Mm-hmm. Lost her at 15, living for them. I don't even know how many, but you know, they would be born and then grow up for a year or two. In fact, in those days, they would die for a year or two.
Is she still living, your grandmother?
Yes, my grandmother is 25.
How old is she?
Oh, like 67.
Okay.
I can't find a birthday, but she didn't tell me that.
How old is she? Well, she's a, she probably never worked outside the home. I mean, I...
Well, 13 kids.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking after I said I thought, there's plenty of work.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
And what was life like then for your grandmother? I mean, did she have, what was her life like with all those children, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's legends. From what I know, my grandmother came from a pretty wealthy family, and then her brother took her birthright. She had a very...
When she didn't get any inheritance?
No, she didn't get any inheritance until she married my grandfather. So, you know, it was a big thing.
Yeah, please. Could you just get your number and I'll call them?
Okay.
How were they able to afford 13 children?
Well, in Puerto Rico, they always have a funded family. It was off the land, and it was really, you know, it's tropical, so there were like tons of fruit trees and different, you know, really, in those days, the bees were willing to work hard to live off.
You put in a big garden too? Or?
Yeah, garden, typical thing that we do like them,
And did they own land?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now she lives in a pretty small town. Little people. My grandfather used to do some of it.
What did he do?
I really don't know.
You didn't know him?
Well, no, not his wife. My grandmother, he died pretty early. I was about
to get it. So, what's your job? Your father then came for a job in the steel mill?
Mm-hmm.
And what, was that a hardship for him then when he shut down, or was he?
Oh, well, yeah. He just recently retired.
Forced retirement then, right?
Yes. Yes, because he got a so it was pretty hectic and sensitive. He was very grumpy and very out of sorts before, and it was because he was very sterile and the breath and everything.
Especially with his cultural background, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, it's like,
I was wondering, you know, where you go.
My mother's not the typical Hispanic
woman. Okay.
She's right. She taught me well, too.
What has she done then?
She's basically, you know, we're not going to live off of soup. You know, my family's a very I raised my kids and I kept my house.
Okay, so she didn't work until you were all pretty well grown. What kind of job did
she do? Right now, she's a house.
In the youngster area?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so your father was forced into forced retirement, and were they able to like talk it out, or
well,
you know, I'm just wondering.
I miss that. My mother is pretty forceful. She's like the kind of person that don't want to talk if you don't want to. Not, my father is a good talker. He's kind of insecure and, you know, silent. And she's not that. So really, it's my mom who is the one who makes them express his feelings, make them talk things out. They get into discussions like all arguments. That was the thing that I was facing at the time, and I really wanted to spend I would like to learn, you know, and if anything goes bad,
this sounds sort of like a dream to go back and
I guess.
What help people, is that what I'm doing?
Basically, because I really have person that I would pick me up for. My position. I can't even remember his name. That's pretty bad. So it's like, you know, really just kind of pattern myself after. I don't know if that's good or bad.
And then now you're even interested though in a branch of medicine, psychiatric medicine.
Well, in grade school and high school, everyone always used to tell me their problems. I always be the kind of person that people could talk to. And so I thought, you know, that was interesting. And then I did a bit of research on the community and I thought, you know, I'd like to combine, you know, the molecular level with psychotherapy and just a lot of different things. I enjoy biology, but at the same time, I like to have strength. I don't know.
What about the human contact?
That's I'm leaving that unsaid. To me, that's essential. I love to talk, and I love to be with people, and I love to always try to figure out how my mind is working, how it's affecting someone else, and how their attitude and their way of life is affecting me. I really get into that.
Are there a lot of women doctors in Puerto Rico?
More now than ever before.
How about women psychiatrists?
In fact, psychiatry, not too many people look kindly upon that.
Are you aiming towards psychiatry rather than psychology?
Yes. For psychiatry, you have to go to the medical school, and then you have to be a general practitioner before you specialize. With psychology, I think you have to go to the medical school. But in Puerto Rico, to me, it seems like there's not that many psychiatrists
well known,
let alone women in the field.
You think that you'll have a problem being accepted in the field then?
Probably. Anywhere, though. I really think that I'll probably spend most of my time here, and then later on, when I'm back home. So even here in the States, I know that I'm following little biases, and I'm not so little biases. Even now in school, people say it's not fair, but
what sorts of things?
Girl in the class or something. A little girl was telling it, or she walked in. But then, that amount of more.
Do you feel like you have to prove yourself?
Sometimes. But more often than not to myself. I'm very hard on myself. And you know, some people see me being professional, so I know.
What do you have, high standards?
Yeah, I do.
For academics?
Academic. Personal, you name. I don't know, that's just the way I was brought up, aesthetical and just that a very different point.
How about being cute? Is that, Well, I see it gets a reaction. Well, let me tell you what I was thinking of. I have a friend that's short, and she's very cute, and she explained to me, she said that she got so tired of people telling her. I mean, you know, she found it really hard for people to get past that and to see anything else. She says, well, she's in her 30s, and people still think of her as a young girl, and they still call us two. And she told me, she said, there's one more person. You know, sort of that's cheap to that point. And I was just wondering how that feels for you.
Oh, I think it's on my nerves sometimes because I'm very serious in certain things. Like when I'm studying, once I put on a lab coat, don't mess with me, you know, I'm there to work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I could be very ridiculous and I, you know, my friends can do boisterous laugh. And I like to laugh a lot. I like to dance around a lot. I love comedy. Comedy, you know, comedy, and I like to sing. So there's two different sides of me. And one, I let myself be you. And the other one, I hate it because it's like, then people, you know, they're not suffering. This is work and this is play. And mm-hmm. I'm glad to be cute here, but now it's just here. Sometimes, you know, the instructors, even other fellow students, yeah.
Depending.
Say an interview.
Have you done any interviews yet?
Mm-hmm. And not to tell solely on my
somebody else to give me something. I'm pretty much like that now. I still say to this day, don't have that much, but that's a bad life. But I do say, because I always think, you know, my education. I like to be the one that's paying for it. My parents, you know, I live at home, so I get room and board.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I buy my own books, you know, and I've always allowed for scholarships mm-hmm. I signed up for. Unfortunately, I got a lot of them, so that helped a lot immensely. But
your mother sounds like an interesting person.
She's great. Yeah, she's so dynamic. Right now she's studying for a high school diploma.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, I'm very proud of her. I told her I made that with her. I said, you get your high school diploma and I'll put you through college.
Really?
And I mean it, because if the Lord smiles on our family and on me and I really make it through medical school and everything, I wouldn't mind that. They put up with me for 23 years. I'd stand back, yeah. And she, you know, she's very, very intelligent, right? Even though she never had the chance to show it with books or anything,
mm-hmm.
she's very creative too. She likes interior design, she likes creative things. So she's very fascinating. She was a real inspiration for my sister and myself, you know. And a lot of other families, the mother was always with us. She does whatever her husband says in our family now. They always have this, I like the way they call them, family discussion.
Uh-huh.
But my mother is not quiet. In fact, I think we have a lot in common. We're both a little bit on the loud side, too, you know, for Hispanic. And most people expect us to be quiet and docile. And she's a character. She's short too. She has red hair and green eyes. She just looks different, you know. You see her more. She has Spanish blood. That's where she got the green eyes. Don't ask me where she got the red hair from.
So do you think that she will go ahead and be the student?
I think she will. Because, well, it's been a year and a half now that she's slowly but surely going up this hill. You know, she started off, I think it was a third grade level, and now she's doing seventh grade, and you know, she's just progressing every day. She comes home with her homework, and sometimes I help her, although I don't have that much patience. When it comes to your mom, you sit there and you're like, it's just really different trying to tutor your mom. She'll sit there and she'll argue with me, and she says, don't talk back to your mother, and I'm like, well, okay, fine.
You got two different relationships
yeah.
going there.
It's pretty hysterical. She's making a lot of progress. I think she'll do it. My dad, in the past, wasn't too crazy about the idea, but now he's coming around.
It sort of changes things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because he got his high school diploma, and he even went to college for, I think it was a semester or two before he came to the state.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows the value of education. It's just that, you know, like I said again, that watch his small attitude of, oh, well, why do you need education? You've gotten me.
And a house.
Yeah. And my mom realizes, you know, she's not going to go out and, you know, take the business world by storm or anything like that. She's doing it just for herself.
You'll have to bring her down and introduce her to the non-traditional students. One woman that I interviewed she didn't start school until she was 55. She raised 14 children. And she's looking forward to getting a degree now. She wants to be a social worker. So it's a nice group of people so that you don't think it's a crazy, you know, like sometimes the people around you
mm-hmm.
will don't give you, you know, they'll sort of say, oh, geez, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you meet other people that have that desire and are doing it, it's nice to know that you're not the only one that would consider such a crazy thing as going to school when you're, you know, whatever age.
She's not she still has a lot of good years ahead of her. She's only 25, so she's very young.
Well, she'd fit right in.
I often envision it's one of my little dreams now. I really wish he would come home. She'd be great.
What do you think she'd want to be?
Well, I think she'd probably go into design. She's really good about that. If you walk into our house, you have to say, including the painting, the walls, she has a real neat little design going through the house. Well, she painted it.
Hand-painted?
Yeah. It's like, it's not, I don't know, it's not really like a painting or anything. It's more graphical.
Mm-hmm.
Little design that goes through the house on the wall. She's basically, really into home design. She does our furniture, the curtains and everything. Because she really likes, doing things in the home, but when it feels like doing things with her hand and with her mind.
Mm-hmm.
She likes doing those kind of things.
Yeah, but she's very talented.
She really is. I might be biased, but she's the only woman I know that can do curtains without patterns, and she does, just other things. She does Christmas decorations. She'll think of something, and she'll go out to school, buy all the stuff, and put it together.
Make it.
And you're like, she gets mad when I say, where'd you buy that?
Mm-hmm.
What? I made it. And she's that kind of person that she'll just think it up in her head. And she'll do it. Pretty interesting.
So, and you have a job here at the university,
mm-hmm.
right?
At the Student Working Center, it's my second year. At first I started off tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
I was tutoring, and then I found out about the job at the SEC as a peer assistant.
And so that's a little bit different than tutoring though, right?
Yeah.
It's more personal, isn't it?
It's more personal, and you deal with the students on an academic level, but not constantly. That's not the basis of your relationship. You're there to help the student with academics, but also with the personal, and even some career questions that they might have. Not to say that I know anything about career counseling, but basically my job is to be like a resource person.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know about this certain question or about a career or whatever, I refer them to like the career services.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone on campus that I know, would be a good person to talk to about that. So basically, I think of it kind of like a support system.
Mm-hmm.
Just to know that being a freshman is not fatal. You do survive until sophomore year.
do some of them bring you some pretty intense problem situations?
Sometimes they do. Well, last year, especially, this year things have been pretty normal, but last year I did have students that had big crises. So, that's when you're more like a friend instead of some peer,
mm-hmm.
advisor or whatever. You really have to get in on a whole new level, and you got to kind of guide them to counseling services or something,
mm-hmm.
like that. You've got to be careful not to overstep your bounds, because I'm not a counselor or anything. So you have to kind of make sure that whatever you tell them, you tell them, this is just my opinion. It could be wrong.
Does that feel like if you respond, how's the responsibility with that? Is that
a lot? You do feel responsible, not just myself, I think all the other TAs. You do feel that great sense of responsibility. From if they do bad in the class, you feel bad for them. But sometimes it goes beyond that. You can talk to you today, tell them more about the tutoring services. You do feel responsible in that sense. And then if a personal thing comes up, it's really big. It goes with you.
Mm-hmm.
I take it home sometimes. It's bad, but you can't help but worry about a student if they're, if their father is an alcoholic, or if they found that you're the only person they could tell that the big problem is,
mm-hmm.
You start thinking what can I do to help a little bit more, and who can I refer them to that's going to be a little bit friendly, and who do I know personally that can really be able to help them?
You have to watch, not to invite them home for, say, let them home, I'll make
this. Yes, you do.
Is that a temptation?
sometimes you really meet some of them that they become your friends.
Okay.
And it's okay, like after the year's over and they're sophomores and you see them on campus, it's okay to be their friends and, you know, go out with them to like a football game or something. But during that year, you've got to be careful because it's other characters. It hasn't happened to me so far. Other characters, like they might tend to lean on you a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Or figure, oh, well, she's my friend, so I can ask this of her and that of her and this of her favor. Or she's going to get me out of this pickle or something. You know,
mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful that way. Fortunately, it hasn't happened because, I don't know, even with the ones that were a little bit more on a personal level with me, I tried real hard not to.
Mm.
To let it, you know, go too far because, you know, it's a great effort on somebody's part to kind of have to put up a barrier and say, okay, you can't cross.
But sort of like a profession, you have to stay professional.
You do, exactly. You have to be that level of professionality and, you know, you can't let them cross over. There's certain things you can't, you know, like chumming around, that type of thing. But you can't let them take advantage of you.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Do you think that's good background for you, though, the field that you're choosing to go in?
I think so. I think it's good background for anything. If you're planning on dealing with people, that's good background.
Do you think it sounds like you've learned a lot.
Yeah, I think so.
Going through it.
You learn what to say, what not to say. You learn a lot about the university, you know, who is what, who can do what.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to be a resource person.
Who can do what? That sounds like we're talking structure here.
Oh, yeah. You learn about red tape.
Okay.
You learn how to get around.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You just learn about how to deal with people in different, you know, business.
Political sources.
Yeah.
Sure.
You learn how to talk to certain people and how to get what you want. How to relate to other people. If you can't get what you want, you still keep trying. You know, I just learned a lot about it. You know, you might come in as a freshman and you think, oh, the almighty university.
Uh-huh.
And believe it or not, a lot of students still, you know, feel like that. They're afraid of the person at the top, but once you meet the people, you know, you get to realize that there's just people too, and you know, they've got this strong point that they're at least one. And I've met a lot of people in administration and a lot of people in offices and things, and I enjoy that because it helps you with interrelating different aspects of the university. And I'm sure, you know, when you get into the business world, you're going to have to be able to use that.
That's why I was suggesting about bringing your mom down. I think that some older people, too, have an idea of the university as this big, overpowering structure, and they're afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. And they think, oh, I can never do it. I'm crushed by the system.
Do you have any other ideas? I think that sounds like you're doing that in your job, helping people see that that's not the case. Do you have any other ideas of good ways to reach like women, non-traditional women that, you know, are,
well,
not sure of themselves, you know, that could do it,
mm-hmm.
that have the capabilities, that, you know, could do it for sure, but they don't know that they could do it.
Yeah. I think one of the best things is just talking with friends, you know, or people that you meet,
mm-hmm.
and kind of letting them know that this is the way, you know, this is the way I live my life. You can do it too, or you can tailor it, and you can do whatever you want. But I mean, you know, if you see someone and they express to you, oh, I'd like to try doing that, best thing is to, you know, give them a positive reinforcement and say, you know, it's not impossible. By the way,
mm-hmm.
I know how you can
mm-hmm.
go back. I think that's one of the greatest assets to get any message across, is to actually, you know, make yourself known, make it known that this is the way that you think. And, you know, the other people can learn by the way you're living.
Mm-hmm. By example, using yourself as an example.
You know, because I've got people that come to me and say, you know, how do you do it? You're a student and you're working. How are you getting decent grades? And, you know, I just tell them, well, this is what I do. I set up time management, budget my time, you know, like I budget my money. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when they're asking, am I sharing knowledge? I'm not telling them, well, this is what you have to do. I'm just saying, this is what I do. So it's, you know, if I can do it, you can come up with some kind of plan that will work for you. Mm-hmm. So as far as other women, the majority of my students are women.
Mm-hmm.
Young women and mature women that come in, the quote unquote non-traditional, you know, over the age of 25, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I try not to push that though. I think if they feel they're non-traditional, then they're mm-hmm. non-traditional. But when they come in, I always, you know, make references as to what's available on campus. And, you know, if they've got questions, I always tell them about workshops or sponsors or through here.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I call them in.
And it's a job person that I am, but that's what they think a waitress is supposed to be. Like the people that they work.
Do you think that is what the public?
And you can be good at most anything. Now, I always, I handled it well though. Yeah. I handled it well.
So you're proud to say that you're a woman.
Okay. Let's see. I wanted to ask you how you felt about the amount of time that it's going to take to go through medical school. That's a big
Yes, it is.
What do you have, like, after your time here, you have, what, another 6 years?
Another 4 years in medical school, and then you have an internship.
So what, 6 to 8 years are we talking?
Mm-hmm.
For psychiatric, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping an open mind. Don't look on the bright side. My fiance is not a big girl.
you have a commitment already.
Yeah, I've been dating for 3 years and we finally got engaged this past August. We finally got engaged.
Does he have career ambitions?
Yes. He also is studying biology. Mm-hmm. What he's going to do with that exactly is kind of, if he would like it, he'll be going to medical school. If not, he has a bigger sense of maybe he'll go into the hospital administration. He likes dealing with children, so, you know, he's got a lot of things open to him.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. How does he feel about you spending so much time in school?
Oh, not too happy. He knows that. He's because he does have my goals and stuff, he knows that my goals are important. He takes them very seriously. He's pretty good about that. In fact, when we first started the relationship, I just came right out and said, you know, my priority is medicine. And if anything else comes along, it's second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's just the way I present it. It's still that way. You know, I really do feel like I have to be treating myself first. It's a lot of time. Hopefully, if we both get accepted to the same school, we, you know, could probably work out something better. But if we both get sent to different sides of the earth, it's going to be difficult. But anything worth having is worth working for. But
what about a family?
I've never really listened to my mother is just mad when I say this, but I really have never thought of myself as having two or three kids. Maybe one child. But I don't know if I'd even have the time to devote as much as I should if I'm going to be a mother. So for right now,
Well, that's good that you can see that as an option.
Mm-hmm.
That must be difficult, though, in the Hispanic background, too, right?
Yes.
But I'm sure that's very highly valued, right?
Yes. Grandmother keeps asking me when I'm going to get married, I'm getting a little bit old.
And are you able to speak openly with them, or do you just sort of put it off?
No, I tell them. Everyone in my family knows that, I certainly didn't even have plans on getting married.
Oh, this just sort of came along.
That just sort of can't control emotions. But, so everyone knows that I never really had any intention of becoming a mother or raising a family. I've always been kind of like a loner, I guess. But I'm not the only one in my family that was like that. My sister, she wasn't in the Air Force. She just now got out after 6-7 years in the service as an architectural engineer.
So she's a strong woman,
yes,
too.
Yes, she is. And she just started to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she waited a while. And
she's older than you?
Yes. She's 27.
Mm-hmm.
I had to figure out my age. She's 27.
And she's also in a rather non-traditional field for women.
Yes, and now that she's out of service, she's going to go for the civil degree.
In engineering.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not the only one.
So you're building a new family tradition here.
I guess so, yeah. It's kind of funny though, too, because my brother became, a steel worker, like my dad.
Okay.
And the girls just sort of tip off in their own little direction. My brother, fortunately, he's still working everything. He's got his family. He's doing well. But it's just curious. I just looked at that and thought, that's strange.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Back to the strong mom, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty
neat. How about your friends? How do they feel about your career choice? Do you get support?
Well, yes. And no. Some of them, like my old chums from high school, they just can't believe I'm going into, biology, because they put it, because they're a theater major there in Dana, School of
mm-hmm.
Music, and, they just think I'm wasting my time. They think, oh my gosh, I can waste your talent. Medicine's a talent too. I still like music and acting as a hobby. But so, my old high school chums don't give me that much support. But my new friends that I made here at the university, I get a lot of support from them.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, if I'm making a new acquaintance and they just literally, they happen to find out that I am and then pretty bad, they look at me and they say, I just look. And think, oh, you're too nice for that. And they'll say something, totally awful, and I'm like, oh, What kind of stereotype am I
supposed to be?
I guess it goes back to being quote unquote cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that plays in there. What about, did you let people know in high school that you were interested in medical fields?
No.
You just sort of had the idea in your own head and sort of let it grow?
Yeah.
did you get any sort of career guidance in high school?
I did. I had a chemistry instructor that was a real great source of inspiration, and that he kind of taught me that whatever it is in your head that you want to do, you can do it. You know, he didn't really push me one way or the other, but he was the kind of instructor that, you know, if you're dying, you can do it, whatever it is that you decide to do.
He had faith in you.
Yes.
He must have recognized your abilities and your talents.
I don't know what he saw, but, you know, he was always there. I tapped him, chewed him off. And he was a lot more than just an instructor. He was kind of like a mentor, a friend. And, you know, I had a Spanish teacher that was also, I enjoyed arguing with him. He was a good sounding board, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have some support in high school for, you know, to go ahead with my academic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about when you came to university?
Well, when I
did, were you encouraged to go into medicine?
Well, I think I had a lot of support. People went, oh man, I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was one of the first people that I met when she was still working in Tide Hall. And, through minority studies and things like that, too, they always gave me support. As far as, you know, other students, I don't know. I guess it was kind of unspoken, but I see people in the hall and they kind of give you that look like, go ahead.
What about academic advisors?
Academic advisors on the other end. I don't know. My first academic advisor was, I don't know, he kind of tried to give it to me gently. You know, that type of attitude, like, yeah, this is what you need, but, you know, don't put your heart on it. That type of attitude, I didn't appreciate it too well. Because, well, most of the people in the department, biology and the chemistry department, are men. And the fact that I'm short, a minority, and a woman, is not best thing. And even my first year here, I even had a little accent. It was so terrible, you know. When people would talk to me, they'd say, what? You know, and I never even thought of that one.
Okay.
So it was kind of peculiar. But, you know, so I had a couple of strikes against it, I guess you'd say. And as far as academic advisement, it wasn't that strong my first year.
Do you think they sort of thought maybe you should be a nurse or?
I had, yes. Oh, glad you brought that up. Yes. They'd say, oh, you're interested in, you know, medicine. They'd say, oh, you're going to be a nurse. They wouldn't even say you should. They just automatically assume that this is what I wanted to be. Now, a lot of people in my family, too, would ask, oh, are you going to be a nurse? And I'm like, no, because that's a traditional woman thing to do. But you're right, though. My first year, a lot of people would assume that. And some of them wouldn't even give me that benefit of the doubt. They'd say something like, oh, well, what are you going to do with a biology degree? Like, oh my goodness, they couldn't conceive me doing anything with it. I had one instructor one time who was in a chem lab, and I'm sitting there doing my work with a little stool because I needed it. In order to do my work efficiently, I had to see what I was doing. So, this is kind of fine. I guess he got a big kick out of it. But he thought, you know, that I shouldn't be there, and he told me so.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
He was probably just, oh, I was mad. I've got a tough work. And I just, you know, I've learned not to say things at inappropriate times.
So you didn't come back
I didn't
sort of
say anything retaliating at the moment. I finished my experiment first, handed it in, got the grade on it, and then I mentioned it to him. But, I've learned that you can't let your anger get out of control. You do have to kind of
Well, that's funny. We were just talking about that last night, how you really have to hold your anger.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very bad temper. And that's one thing that I've learned.
And that's discrimination, don't you think?
Yes.
Pretty blatant. Mm-hmm. How about discrimination as a minority? Has that come up for you?
Well, and strangely enough, it's like being a minority amongst minorities. I was at this kind of like a little conference for students interested in medicine, and it was sponsored by a reputable Ohio school, and I won't mention any names. But the woman was giving a talk on how minorities can make it in medicine and everything. But when I went there, all the minorities were black minorities. And I was, well, there was an Asian person, myself, and my boyfriend, and he was just a friend, he was sitting there too. So there were two Puerto Ricans and an Asian, and the rest were black minorities. And we were discriminated against because we were not dark enough.
Hmm.
So that was really strange because you're going there for support as a minority, and then you get double whammy.
Yeah.
For not being the white kind of minority, I guess. I remember her saying that, oh, well, if you were born on the mainland, it's not as good as if you were born in Puerto Rico. And I thought to myself, if I was a little bit darker, maybe had a thicker accent, or an accent period, whatever, that I couldn't help but feeling that then I might have done something for me.
Uh-huh. But as it was, you didn't fit.
No, I looked too white.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't appreciate that because, on the other hand, I don't, it's like you don't get accepted either way.
Yeah.
So it's kind of difficult.
How about in Youngstown? How is it, being part of the minority community in Youngstown? Do you feel like you fit in the minority community in Youngstown?
I don't feel like I fit. So a lot of times, I think it's because I'm educated, And so your own people kind of look at you and say, oh, you don't want this anymore.
And you've sort of like crossed over into this intellectual.
And so they're like, you don't even talk the way you used to, which is true. When I think of it, I used to have people, if they call from the university to my house, they'd talk to me at home, and when they'd see me the next day, they'd say, you talk funny when you're back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize it. And now, if I sit down and talk to, let's say, one of my cousins or something, they're like, why are you talking so fancy or something? And they're like, what, is good English a crime?
It's real interesting. I just had a discussion with another woman last night, and she was describing the same thing to me, how you sort of balance between two worlds.
It's rough because you're not really totally accepted by either one, which is a strange feeling sometimes, because it's like you want to get support, and both of them are saying, well, you don't want to go to anymore. Then you have to kind of turn in towards yourself. I think it makes you a stronger person, but it's rough while you're going.
It's kind of lonely.
Mm-hmm.
How about one-on-one, though? Do you see solutions that way of ways of moving past seeing each other in categories?
Mm-hmm. The way that I try is I try to keep involved in Hispanic community as much as I can, so that they know, that I haven't just gone over to the other side, as they say. So I try to be involved, and I try to keep doing things, with my community. At the same time, when I'm doing something here at YSU, I invite people from the Hispanic community to come on in, so,
mm-hmm.
that, so because if the university sees that there is a Hispanic community out there, and maybe they'll learn something from that. Recently I was working on the Hispanic Awareness Week with the Special Student Services and things on that committee. And I thought that was good stuff. When we brought so many people from the community just to come down to Wise Street. Mm-hmm. It was such a big thing, you know. Everybody, they think once they come through the doors, something's going to happen. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, mm-hmm. about the almighty university. There's this fear coming
the
inside, they think people are
going to
laugh at them or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Or feeling like otherness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're not involved and you're not a part mm-hmm. and you're not invited. I think it's real important that we move past that. I'm not quite sure all the ways to do it, but... Mm-hmm.
The only thing I think is try to get the community and the university to do a lot more things together. And we're going to have to sort of single out, make some special activities for the special sects in the community. You know, if you know that there's a large Hispanic community out there, they're not going to come for you for an open house that's open to the general public. Then you're going to have to try to make an effort to come up with something else that's going to draw them in mm-hmm. so that you both can mutually benefit from learning off of each other. The international students do that well. You know, they hold those international nights in the club, Federation of International Students, and we hold different little activities. And it's so good, it's so positive, because that brings in that special sect of the community into the university. Mm-hmm. And then the university is learning, and they're learning about the university. So you're not so much afraid one or the other. And I think they have to do that more with the Hispanic community.
Do you ever feel drawn in many different directions? I'm hearing a lot of involvement here.
Yeah, I have a lot of commitment. I like it though. I mean, it drives me crazy. I probably have all things for you too, but you know, I do have a lot of involvement.
Sounds like you get a lot of rewards.
Yeah.
And sounds like you see some things, positive things happening that make it worth it.
Yeah, I do. Well, just being involved, it kind of gets you feeling like you're doing something and somewhere, someone is going to benefit. If not, you know, a bunch of people, at least someone that you talk to or that you meet is going to benefit from knowing.
If you could give advice to some young girl coming up with a dream similar to your dream, what kind of advice? What would you tell her?
Basically, you don't do it for anyone else outside of yourself. You got to be selfish sometimes. But along the way, don't forget, don't step on anyone. You know, appreciate people that are there, because even though you've got that kind of like a selfish dream and you're doing it for yourself, you're going to have to use other people as resources, and you're going to have to allow yourself to be used, mm-hmm. because it's the only way that you're going to really grow and learn. And that's what I think higher education is about, is just learning, not just books, but learning how to deal with people, learning how to use other people, learning how to be used by other people. And I don't mean used in a negative sense. I mean, you know, being there. And I think
useful?
Yeah. If other people, you know, would learn to be of use to others instead of just me, you know, then I think half the problems in the world would be solved.
To me, like with all your traveling back and forth, you have a larger sense of world and community.
Knowing two languages, kind of, you know, two different worlds, don't you? There's different connotations.
Do you think that we have similarities that we can build on now?
I think in any culture compared to any other culture, there are more similarities. You know, and I don't think assimilation is necessarily the best thing to do when you're faced with two cultures. It's just learning.
Do you think that we can appreciate each other's differences?
that needs work and a lot of different things. But even the little things that I've mentioned, like, you know, the International Night or Awareness Week, Hispanic Awareness Week, Black Awareness Week, that kind of helps it along. You know, it's going to be a long day coming, but maybe worth it, but I can't say that we will, but maybe.
Sounds like you're willing to work on it, though.
Yeah. Gives me something to do.
Anything else about your life or your work dreams that you feel like we haven't covered?
Oh, I don't know. There's just a lot. I was just really surprised when you even asked me. I thought, successful? Don't you have to have graduated to be successful?
Don't you feel successful in the work you do?
When I think of it, I think yes. First of all, putting 4 or 5 years of your life into education, that is a career. I think I've been successful at that. I think I've been successful about learning as much as I could have, you know, while I was here, because I'm graduating. I think I've learned an awful lot about life in general, how people are, how to interact.
Sounds like you've changed a lot since high school, too.
Mm-hmm. I used to be, believe it or not, shy. The only time, in fact, that I was not shy was when I was on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I still like that meeting. It's got me out of my shell.
Gave you a way to do it without really doing it.
Yeah, I used to be shy. I used to think, what can you do? You know, even though I had my dreams, I used to think, oh, come on, Diane, you'll end up getting married, having 7 kids, and that'll be the end of that. Now I think, this is only the beginning. God knows where I'm going to end up one day. And I feel that I will succeed in whatever it is that I do.
Good. I think you will too. I think that's a good end.